Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon men and women periodically, empowering them for certain tasks. When the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Ghost, synonymous terms, he came in power and authority of the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And the doctrine that would follow, that to this day, the Assemblies of God and other Pentecostal organizations are experiencing and have experienced, it's the same that took place on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We call it the doctrine of speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost. It has been a controversy for a lot of people, but I don't see anybody racing away from someone when they start speaking Spanish or Portuguese, or some other language. And yet, when people come to church in a spirit-filled church and suddenly they find people worshiping in the spirit and talking in a heavenly language, and they look at it as being strange, I want you to know you're strange if you don't talk in the heavenly language, because what will be spoken in heaven will not be, ladies and gentlemen, an earthly tongue. It will be by the Spirit of God. He's just giving you the language of what heaven is. My friend and missionary pastor Jose Alvarez says that Spanish is the heavenly language, but we both agree that the Holy Ghost will be that heavenly language. There's no doubt about it. And what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2 had set the stage for what you're experiencing in this building today. The event came right on time, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, when it fully came, there came a sound from heaven like as of a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house. There was not a place in the building that was not filled, and then filled everyone that was in that building. And tongues of fire sat upon each of them. They didn't hold up a mirror to be impressed by their own fire. You were only impressed by the person next to you. You could not see your own fire. It was not of yourself. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the language that came is by the Spirit giving them utterance or language. Pentecost had fully come. For those of you that are not familiar with this and or a Pentecostal church, let me say to you, you're not Pentecostal because you have Pentecostal on the sign. Bible says that there would be a group of people in the last days that would claim a spirit-filled experience, but their heart would be far from the Lord. There would be no spirit in there. The Jewish people were very familiar with the term Pentecost because it is a feast day, Pentecost. It literally means 50 or 50 days after Passover, the feast of Pentecost came. The feast of Passover first, and then the feast of Pentecost. Everything that preceded the day of Pentecost had happened. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, had died on the cross. They saw him died, nailed to the cross, and then buried and rose again on the third day. And according to the book of Acts chapter 1, he walked around for 40 days with many infallible proofs. And he showed himself alive to more than 500 people with many infallible proofs. If they wanted to kill him again, they didn't have to search him down. He's walking in the streets of Jerusalem, walking alongside those that got up out of the ground that had been buried as prophets and apostles from years gone by. His resurrection brought about a resurrection of all those who had believed him in the Old Testament all the way back. Our personal Passover must precede Pentecost, meaning there must be blood applied to our life before we can be filled with the Spirit as the days preceding Passover and then Pentecost. meaning the blood of Jesus Christ, prepares us for Pentecost, washes away our sins, washes away our prejudice, enabling us to come together as devout men and women from every nation came together on the day of Pentecost. Why did Jesus not choose Bethany or some other city to pour out his spirit, but he said, go and wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high? Why did he pick Jerusalem? Because on this feast day of Pentecost, all of the known world that would believe and come as Jews from around the known world would gather in that city of Jerusalem together, and God Almighty knew to perpetuate Pentecost would mean that every tribe, kindred, nation, men and women would be gathered together in Jerusalem. And when he poured out his spirit and they left to go back, the Grecians and so forth, 18 different nations represented, they would take that Pentecostal fire that would propel the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If Pentecost did anything, it tore down the barriers and the walls, making all people one, regardless of their nationality, under one mandate, and that is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the difference maker. The Holy Ghost is the difference maker in the church. He wasn't poured out on the city council or the county commission. He wasn't poured out on the school board or upon the legislators or the Supreme Court or even the President's Office of the United States. But he was poured out, commissioned, and mandated the church to do the will of God in their life. How much we need the Spirit of the Lord to accomplish that task now more than ever before. With the profile of a Laodicean church upon us, where we are now rich and increased with goods, and we don't even have to gather back in churches in many locations around the country and around the world now, because we can watch you online by convenience, and yet less and less of the Spirit of the Lord is moving in our churches. I say and declare from this pulpit, oh God, let us fold the doors and lock them down if we lose Pace Assembly to something other than Pentecostal fire. I say, Lord, do it again. Send it from heaven and make it the same fire they found at Pentecost. Ladies and gentlemen, I will not be ashamed, nor will I back up from the need and the necessity of the moving of the Holy Ghost. For I tell you, church is not church until the Holy Ghost has moved and had his way. It is so critically important today that we understand the necessity of the Spirit of God moving in our churches. It was Pentecost that transformed preachers into supernatural voices and firebrands of God. It was Pentecost that would transform the average believer, the common, into the uncommon bush that would not be consumed. Plenty of bushes in Moses' day that would be consumed by the fire, and he would walk right past them and ignore them. But the one that was lit with fire on Mount Sinai, that Moses saw burning but was not consumed, he said, there's something about this fire that's different than the average fire. This is uncommon fire. I will turn aside. I'll stop doing what I think I need to do. I'll quit going to my work on this day. I'll stop doing what is on my schedule, and I will rise up to that level to see this bush that is not consumed. When he arrived in that location, he stepped into the presence of a holy God, and God said, stop where you are. Take off your shoes, Moses, for the ground you're about to step on is holy ground. I came to tell you it was a place dedicated, anointed, and sacrificed in the fire right there on Mount Sinai. And I came to tell you there's nothing different around the ground of Sinai and that burning bush than there is in this building this morning, he's still the God who is a consuming fire. And I came to tell you, if you feel the need to slip your foot off, your shoes off today, you're standing on holy ground. A holy God is in his holy temple, and the Holy Ghost is resident with us today. Say amen, somebody. Ministry that was energized by the Holy Ghost is marked by an aggressive evangelism. When we speak of Pentecost, we're not talking about celebrating a feast day anymore. We're talking about the experience that birthed the church. Hear me. I don't care if it was the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, call it whatever denomination. Denominations only tell you where you stopped. And the Spirit of the Lord kept right on moving. And whenever the shouting Methodist stopped shouting and settled down for a transgender bishop, God's fire kept moving on. And whenever the Baptist said, we're going to have our form and do what we want to do and keep it all under our order, God said, I'll keep right on moving. And now when the assemblies of God have said, we're not sure if we want to keep the distinctive, we just want to do what we want to do, I want to let you know the Holy Ghost fire is going to find somebody who's still ready to move. Because this is not a monument and it's not a denomination. It is the moving of the wind of the Holy Ghost and fire. Whenever the Holy Spirit came, it made indifference of religion to be tossed out the door and impossible. Whenever a preacher begins to preach with fire and a church comes together under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need this infilling today like we never have before? I'll tell you very clearly, one of the oldest church colleges, Christian colleges in the United States, the College of the Ozarks, that's turned out Bible preachers for years, has made their stand against the president and the order that said that you've got to be able to allow men and women to go into the same bathrooms in your Christian college. And whenever they said, wait a minute, it violates our religious rights, I've got the paper right here. The judge says you will follow this order or you will not exist as a college. I got news for you. In the time we're living, you better get ready. Go ahead and let me preach it like I'm saying. People want to say I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're not bold, they're not filled with the anointing, they're afraid to speak up, they're ashamed of our forefathers dancing and shouting until their hair fell down and the men began to love one another regardless of who they were, and people got together and preached the gospel. I got news for you. Let me put my title just another way. Pentecost. Put up or shut up. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I got news for you, my dear friend. Pentecost has had its own bad name before, and it said, well, we don't want to be associated with them. And many Pentecostal people have said, you know what, I'm just going to back down and sit down, and it don't take all of that anymore. But I got news for you. It takes all of that and more. I asked you, are your sons and daughters saved? Are your children filled with the Holy Ghost? Have they had an experience of the Holy Ghost and fire? If they have not, then it's going to take all of that and a whole lot more.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you and help you in your walk with the Lord. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to get you the information, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And we'll be glad to correspond with you. We want to thank you for joining us each day at this same time. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.